And we always were really clear on what the brand stands for, the values and the vision. And I think that's one thing we've done really well from the beginning. And that's really helped us grow quite a solid brand and attracted a lot of media opportunities as well.
This is Superfast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here, and today's topic is building out your brand. So I've brought in a branding expert, and I'd like to welcome to the call Francisca Selly Hall.
Thank you, James. Thanks for having me.
I actually remember when your business first started doing business with my business because of your brand name. How ironic is that? You've got a website called basicbananas.com, so it's quite an unusual name.
It is, and you know, it's an interesting name because it kind of doesn't say much about what we do, but people remember. So it's interesting that you actually remember when we first started using some of your services for our members, because every time I go somewhere to a function or you know, some events, people seem to come up and say, "You're the banana lady." And that's a good thing, even though I don't really like bananas.
Well, I did hear in Seth Godin's Startup School, he was talking about how the more you have to explain a brand, the stronger it can become if it becomes successful. And he gives examples like Google. But if you think about Amazon, Google, Apple, Yahoo, eBay, they don't really mean anything. They're not like keyword domains like we sometimes see in the internet business space, where people feel compelled to have a specific keyword descriptor. So you've built quite a strong brand. And then I remember seeing you in a magazine. So you've obviously got something worked out with this marketing machine.
Yeah, I think we did. And look, I think one of the things that we did really well when we started Basic Bananas, myself and my husband, Christo Hall, and one thing we did really well from the beginning was really thinking about the brand in itself and building a solid brand. So we never ever, obviously, you know, I come from an advertising and marketing background, and we never ever sat there trying to design our own brand and trying to, you know, use Photoshop or Illustrator ourselves for hours and days. Even though we didn't really have a lot of money in the beginning, we invested in people that actually are really good at creating that brand image. And we always were really clear on what the brand stands for, the values and the vision. And I think that's one thing we've done really well from the beginning. And that's really helped us grow quite a solid brand and attracted a lot of media opportunities as well.
Okay, so let me just clarify that. Instead of you sort of building a website and winging it and slapping together some bits and pieces yourself, you've called in a bit of a team and a process. I wonder if you could step us through some of the elements of that process that someone listening to this could use for their own business.
Yeah, totally, totally. So first of all, you know, people always say, well, how did he come up with such a name? Because you don't like bananas. Christo is crazy for bananas. What's the deal here? And so first of all, how did we come up with the name? Christo and I sat together, and when we started the business, when I left my advertising gig and he was just running a couple of his own businesses, and we said, okay, let's do this thing. There's a need in the market for something a little bit different in the marketing space for small businesses. So we sat down and we thought, okay, how... And this is a really good question for your listeners to ask themselves. How do we want to be perceived? So that was one of the first questions we asked ourselves. How do we want to be perceived? And the stuff that we came up with was, well, we want to be perceived as a different solution in a quite a crowded market. We also don't want to try and be different to who we are personally. You know us quite well, James, and you know that we're a bit cheeky. We love surfing. I'm, you know, being a Swiss, I think I'm pretty blunt. Sometimes maybe a bit too blunt, but that's okay. So we, you know, we just figured out how do we want to be perceived and how do we want to take what we've already got in our own personalities and put that into the business. And so then we just started brainstorming names. Once we narrowed it down to maybe two or so names, I think one of the other names that we had was Tango Like a Mango. Got nothing to do with marketing, but I think Christoph found it really funny. But then we settled on Basic Bananas. We really treated Basic Bananas like a person, like a personality. And we started to write down different characteristics that we want that brand, that business to have. And until now, still for the last 5 years, that personality has always been the same. It's been consistent. And that's what's helped us build that small empire and getting those opportunities for Basic Bananas. Then the second thing we did after describing our brand personality and treating it like a person, we came up with values that we wanted to have in the business. So we thought, okay, what are the things that we're standing for in the business? What do we want to be known for? And that's the second question your listeners might want to write down and take away and ask themselves is, what do you want to be known for? And that's a huge question. I still ask myself that question, and it's not the same thing as it was 5 years ago. I'm constantly evolving, and so are our members, our clients, and the business. So that can change a little bit along the way. But it's a really good question to ask yourself. What do you want to be known for? And so that's the second question we ask ourselves. And by asking that, what values do we want to have behind the business? And right now, actually, at the start of this year, 2014, we had a big team meeting and we said, okay, let's revisit our values. Because our values were stuff like fun, integrity, professionalism, creativity, innovation. So we just had a couple of buzzwords for the last 5 years. We've had the same words. And then we thought, you know what? They don't really say a lot. They do they? Like they're great. And it's like how you're building a brand that's perfect that way. But how about we make it a little bit more descriptive and more emotional? And right now, Jess, one of my girls here, is working on a couple of things we've discussed. Like, you know, what are the things we stand for? What are we standing for? Like, you know, we always prefer to make friends rather than clients, et cetera, et cetera. A couple of quirky things. And what do we stand against? What do we not like? Jess, Krista didn't like that. I said to Jess, when we brainstormed, I said, we don't like wankers. So how about we use that as one of our values? We don't like wankers. Obviously, Krista, who is a little bit more diplomatic, he said, you can't put that. So it's probably not going to be put in there, but we find a more diplomatic way to say, this is not who we want to work with or who we want to hang out with. So that's probably the process. So the first question was, how do we want to be perceived? Then the second question was, what do we want to be known for? What are our values around that? And then what we did, once we knew that, we then engaged a talented graphic designer and told her exactly what we're trying to do, the logo with the branding colors, et cetera, et cetera. So we never, ever tried to do our own designs because it would be way longer than a graphic designer would take to do it.
Okay, so what sort of team members would you involve in this? You've got someone who does graphic design, they come up with the colors and I guess the look and the feel. Who else do you need on the team?
So we, at the beginning, we had a graphic designer to do that, to work with us on the look and the feel and deciding on the colors we wanted to use consistently. And then we also use website developer. So the girl would do the designs and then we would get a coder to code it into a WordPress website. For example, we are actually just redoing our brand a little bit for this year. It needs to be a bit fresher. And you could also work with a copywriter, which I definitely think is a fantastic idea to work with a copywriter. We tend to write the copy ourselves. I like writing our own copy. So usually Krista and I do that in the beginning, or even now if you revisit your brand and you want to really solidify your brand image and go out there and, you know, do it well, then that's pretty much all you need. But I think what I see a lot in, not just in the internet marketing space, but definitely also in that space, is a lot of people obviously come on the scene and they try to make money through certain ways. And then they don't really invest enough in their brand. But it depends what your goals are. You know, if you just want to quickly make a little bit of money and then disappear, that's great. But if you have a bigger vision and you think big and you think, okay, this is going to last for a long time and I'm going to attract media opportunities and amazing customers and also better customers, then you invest in your brand. I mean, if you look at you mentioned Apple. Would Apple ever put out anything that doesn't look amazing? It would damage their brand. It would suck and people would probably not be able to trust them as much as they do right now. So that's probably one of the key things that I think I will. There are a couple of things at Superfast Business that I'll talk about, but this is one of the key things that I really want people to take away.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm just going to recap there for a bit. Yes, you are speaking at the Superfast Business Live event. So I've asked you to reveal a bunch of data from your tests, which is going to be very exciting. On the topic of the web design and logos, et cetera, that fits in really nicely with what Greg Merrilees was talking about on Superfast Business, one of the interviews I did just a week ago from the time that this is out. We've also spoken to copywriters in the past, so you could look up episodes from John Carlton talking about copywriting, and I think that that's very, very important, especially if you're talking about what you want to be known for. And the brand values, that really resonates well. I had a great discussion about affiliate marketing, and I think one of the common affiliate marketing points that comes up is that people automatically just foil into the brand of whatever they're promoting and they lose their own identity or they don't have an identity. And that's one of the main reasons that I cancelled my own affiliate program. And I mentioned this when I was talking to Clay Collins and Damien Thompson, because people were starting to degrade my brand. They were squishing around my head. They were putting up dog ugly websites, pimping my products and services, and they put very little care or thought into my brand values, and I wasn't able to do much about enforcing it. And in the end, I just turned it off, and that was the ultimate thing for me. And since then, Superfast Business has become extremely strong because I now am back in control of my brand. I'm able to be very careful about the quality levels that for things that we produce. And I think you can even have a brand if you're an affiliate. And I've proven that with the Superfast Business model, where I bring someone like Clay Collins on and we talk about his software and we link to lead pages. And I do earn a commission when someone buys from our thing. And before that, we built up a whole website called Buy With Bonus. And before that, I actually started in the market with the Excite Pro cheat sheet or XSP cheat sheet. And I built a whole brand around that particular product, but it was unique to me and it was helping sell a lot of someone else's product, but I had my own brand first that I then used to endorse someone else's product. So maybe you can touch on how someone could transition from being promoting someone else's brand or having no brand at all to developing their brand in front of whatever they want to promote. And especially I'm thinking, even as much as I dislike it, probably the number one crime that I think MLMers do is they have no personality and no brand of their own. They just start pimping something for the cash and they lose all identity. And it's even their most sort of insincere and fake, you know, flying dollar bills and rented sports cars stuff. That's the one that makes me vomit the most.
Yeah, look, and I agree. And generally, I have to admit that generally I don't work with MLM businesses, but I have committed crimes in the past where I have worked with MLM businesses. And the first thing that I would do with them is actually stop that crap. And just instead of, as you say, pimping this stuff, it's a great word, actually. Being a foreigner, I just have a couple of words in the English language that I think are hilarious. Pimping is one of them. And so instead of pimping other people's stuff, if they can, instead of doing that, create their own brand first, and then, or as they do their MLM stuff, at the same time also invest in their own brand. Now, two things also that I wanted to mention. One is that I have actually seen you, James, throughout, you know, your journey. I find that right now you definitely have a very, you know, strong brand, and I've seen you working on it, which is amazing. And also one of your brands, which is the Silver Circle, had a look at your website, and it looks neat, and it looks like you've invested some time and money in building that brand. And what it does, I think, is it attracts a better quality person, because when I come to that website, it's not like, oh, this looks cheap and it's, you know, cheap design or homemade. It looks like it's a properly done website and product, which makes it more attractive for the right person.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. And I can tell you statistically that it has been more successful since putting that investment. And I lean quite heavily on my experience with Mercedes-Benz. It's almost irony that I ended up with the brand Silver Circle, because it's kind of like the three-pointed star in a way. And the way that I feel about the brand is very similar. I want a high quality and I want the best caliber clients. We also have a no wankers policy, but I guess we use different words. Probably
three-figure hour, how I say it.
Well, I think you dropped a really big piece of gold there, and I want to highlight it, and that is letting people know what you don't stand for, like what reject, because I think when it comes to something like Silver Circle, it's a disqualification process. It's weeding out the people that are not suited to the program or that I don't want to work with or that I don't feel excited about. I should never work with those people because I'm not going to get my best results. So for a brand like that, it's like clearly I'm trying to make a magnet that I can dip into the box of wood chips and metal filings and just pull out the metal filings and leave all the wood chips because I don't want to have a conversation with people who aren't ready for it yet. So I do a lot of filtering, but, you know, somewhat serendipitously, that Silver Circle site and brand is a combination of a James Dyson logo and a Greg Merrilees graphic design. And I worked with both of them to describe what I want Silver Circle to look and feel like. And we did discuss the same sort of stuff. How should people feel when they come to the site? That's why we have a documentary. And how do we want to be perceived? We don't want to be hypey or pushy or, you know, my competition are people who have $25,000 masterminds where they meet three times a year. And we have such a different program that it's worth shooting straight through that. You know, we have a weekly frequency and we're a virtual global mastermind. We're like a true mastermind of different people. But there's one main thing in common is there's absolutely a minimum earnings that people need to reach before they get there. So that should be conveyed from the time they come to the site. And all of my customers are the ones who are likely to invest in a graphic designer, a logo, having someone build a professional website. And it's just a whole different league to this buying a $9 keyword rich domain and setting up a spammy little affiliate site.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the second point. So you've really worked out, you know, how you want to be perceived. And I think it's working really well for you because you don't seem to attract the people that are after the quick fix or only want to spend $100 a month on something. You seem to attract the, you know, the right people. And then the second point is your offering. So, and that's one of the big things I will also talk about at Superfast Business and also releasing some data that we've collected last year. We always do a lot of research. I don't just, you know, say stuff that I think is right because I'm thinking it. You know, I'm not the queen, although, you know, I wish I was. We always base our stuff on research that we've done. So last year we did a lot of research about what makes people purchase from one provider or one, you know, website instead of from someone else. And we got a lot of really good data, what makes them tick and what makes them go to James Ramco instead of Peter. And so the second thing is, and I will share all that stuff at Superfast Business, and I'm really excited about that. But the second thing you talk about is your offering, how you package your offering. And again, with the Silver Circle, you can see how you have really nailed how you are delivering it, your program, but also how you're presenting it. So when I come to the website or someone has come to your website, they know it's not like your competitors, as you say. It's a different offering, and it's packaged in a very attractive and almost irresistible way that will be irresistible for the right person. It will push away the people that you don't want, which is exactly what you want to achieve with your brand.
Yeah, and one thing I've noticed is it becomes very aspirational for people who aren't ready yet, but they would like to be. I think a lot of people know that it's there and they're looking forward to coming on board at some point in the future when they're ready to qualify.
Mm, exactly, because that's how you're positioning your brand. Maybe one other thing that I should mention, because, you know, a lot of your listeners now think, oh God, I have to, you know, go and read all my stuff and it's going to take me forever to do and a lot of money. You know, one thing that I also know, James, you are big on that too, is there's two kinds of people. You either go and you spend a year creating your brand, and then by the time you're ready to launch that brand, it's too late. You know, your thing is not that exciting anymore. So that you don't want to do that. And I know that a lot of Swiss people, you know, they would do that. They would spend a year just researching and you know, spending, they would spend money. They would spend $100,000 on building something. And I actually know one case in Switzerland, one of my clients in Switzerland that has done that. They've spent $100,000 on researching, building an amazing website and an amazing brand. And then by the time they launched it, it wasn't really relevant anymore. So you don't want to do that. But what you want to do is you want to be quick in implementing this stuff, and you don't need to get the Mercedes. upfront. You can get I'm not very good with cars, but what's a little bit of a lower model? Let's say
a Subaru.
Yeah, an in-between car like a Subaru. You might get a Subaru to start off with, and then you just launch your Subaru, you invest a little bit in your Subaru, and then as you grow and your business evolves, you suddenly start to attract more of the Mercedes people. You can upgrade your brand a little bit as you go. So you don't have to wait forever.
Oh, it's so true. You know, Silver Circle started with a PayPal button on one page of my Internet Marketing Speed website. It was, let me mentor you. It was like literally order here. It was $700 a month recurring on PayPal. And the first guy to hit that button was a Swiss guy who I ended up helping add a lot more money to his revenue. I think it was $600 or $700 a day that we were able to add to his income. And he was the first one to nibble on the cheese, and it worked out great for him. And away it went. And that was kind of the minimum viable product, we'd call that in the lean startup methodology. As soon as you can afford to, you can re-upgrade. And it's certainly been a long-term process. Starting with the good logo was actually one of the critical points for Silver Circle, or even before that, starting with a great name. I picked up that name at GoDaddy Auctions, and I thought that would be a great name for a mastermind. In fact, my daughter and I were thinking about it together. We thought that'd be a great name for a mastermind. So we sort of envisioned this mastermind around that name. And so it started with a name, then it went to a logo, and then it went to a very simple website with just a video and a request for people to email me, and now it's in its current version. It gets stronger and stronger as the brand gets stronger and stronger.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you asked me before, you know, how, so people that are listening to this episode, you know, where do we get started? And it's exactly that. It's you know, have a brand name. You know, I heard a guy, I'm not going to name and shame, but I heard a guy speak last year at an event, and he said, what's the most important thing in your business? He asked the audience, what's the most important thing in your business? And then people said, your business name. And he said, yeah, that's right. And I'm sitting there thinking, what? That, like, really? Like, why, you know, like, Basic Bananas, it's not the most amazing business name, but it's working. Or what are some crappy business names? Like Kleenex or any brand that is big. What's one? Nappy San.
Tylenol.
Your name is not the most important thing. What's the most important thing is how you're building your brand and then how you're getting it out there. I mean, Nappy San, for example, is one of the biggest, or is a big brand here in Australia. Maybe, I don't know if it's overseas as well. It's not a great name, but they obviously know how to get it out there. So I probably wouldn't, you know, spend half a year trying to find the name. Just go with something that resonates with you and your audience, and then invest in building your image and your branding. And also, as you say, get a website up if you don't have already. Probably most of your listeners have a website already, but just get it consistent and then be consistent in terms of marketing. So if you're doing ads on Facebook or Google ads or banner ads, or you're doing direct mail or strategic alliances, make sure that that personality, that brand personality that you're building, is just consistent across the board. And that way you can build a brand pretty fast.
Okay, so just sort of bringing this point on pretty strong, because we've seen a bit of a change in this. How do you advise people around building their brand or building out their personal brand, and how important is this now? And we're in an environment, and I should frame this, we're in an environment where Facebook require a real person. Google Plus is becoming a little bit more, I guess, a bit stronger, more prevalent. It requires a real person. And Twitter seems to be a fairly popular place for personal branding. How much should you dial in your personal brand to your business brand? You know, you're going to have people from a few camps here. One is, you know, make it so you can sell it. It has to run without you. That's the built to sell methodology. And then there's the, hey, become a personal brand like an Anthony Robbins or whatever. And sure, you mightn't be able to sell it easily, but it'll make a lot more cash and you can really pour yourself into it. Can you have both?
Yeah. Great question. And that's probably, you know, the third key. So in terms of build to sell or having your personal brand, I totally think you got to do what you want, what your goal is. So for me personally, I'm doing build to sell. So I don't necessarily want to be always at Basic Bananas. I'm happy for Basic Bananas to run without us. you know, happy to just sit on the beach and surf all day. I'm happy to do that. I don't have to be famous. So that's my model. But some people that I have worked with will prefer to be the person, so the Tony Robbins kind of model. And that's great too. That's how they do it. And that's fantastic. Now, having said that, we have done a lot of tests lately about humanizing your marketing. And that might sound stupid. I haven't found a better term yet, but I'm just calling it at the moment, humanizing your marketing. And what it is doing lots of tests where you show a bit of the personality behind the business, or show more of the personality behind the business, and showing personal stories. So sharing stuff that is not even very relevant to the actual business, but sharing like a personal little story, sharing pictures of you, or if you have a team, of the team doing stuff at work or outside of work, and sharing photos and just injecting a little bit more of the human element into the marketing instead of just pure facts and numbers and figures. And what we have found is always generally, that's not very good English, but generally the approach where you include a little bit of personality and you share personal stories and you show your cheekiness, etc., has always converted better than the approach of just don't show who is behind it, only show the business face, etc. So having said that, I'm not too fussed about whether, you know, they go for the building a brand outside of their personality or whether they build their personality as the brand. But what I care about is that they include a couple of human elements either way.
Nice. So give us some examples of how you do that or how I do that that our listener could relate to.
Yeah, so definitely, I can give examples of both. So I know that you, James, a lot of your video tips, actually, you include a little bit about, you know, who you are. You know, at Superfast Business, you would see a video, for example, the Superfast Business event video, you're including some, of you surfing, you're coming out of the water, or, you know, the beach that you live on. So it's not just testimonials and showing the event venue, you're showing who is behind it. So who is this guy, James? And also a lot of your episodes that you publish, it's often you doing something that shows who you are. So, you know, whether you're going surfing or you're, you know, people know that you love Mercedes. So it's showing you. We have done tests recently running Facebook ads where some of the ads show photos of people in a workshop, because the ads were for one of the workshops that we run here, but it's called Blast Off. So we were running Blast Off ads, and one of the photos is showing just, you know, it's kind of a stock photo, people at a workshop. The other photo is showing Christo and myself either pulling a face or standing on a beach or walking down to the surf. So it's showing more personality. So one is a stock photo, the other one shows personality. And generally the one with showing a little bit more who is behind the business and looks like it's telling a story is doing better than the stock images.
Yeah, I've always been advising people to use custom pictures. I think we use them for the bulk of our posts. We either illustrate or we have a picture that's usually for my podcast. We take a picture that relates to something we talk about, whether it's a bling on a tricycle or the reclining Buddha in Thailand or whatever, and gives you a lot of image marketing opportunities.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about, I think you mentioned before getting professionals. I had someone come around here and take some professional photos of me. His name is Andrew Helmich, and I'll be having him on the show as well, a professional photographer. I find that, I'm just putting together a guest blog post for Noah Kagan on the topic of podcasting, and I sent through professional image of me, and it was kind of nice to have a little gallery to go through. And if you have the image in the right sort of attire that reflects your brand, and I know one of my Facebook profile pictures that he took was really well received. People sort of detected the professional look, but it doesn't look canned or hypey or cheesy. You know, I'm not there in a pinstripe suit. That always cracks me up when I know someone's sitting at their desk with board shorts and bare feet, and then you see images of them in a big, thick, black and white pinstripe suit, you know, with hands on a boardroom desk like Donald Trump. I'm thinking, what are they? Why this mismatch? Why is this so confusing? So would you advise people to do a professional shoot?
Absolutely. And it's a really great point. And I'll tell you a little episode in a second. I'll let you in on a secret. But absolutely. We do a professional shoot here with either with the whole team or generally just Christo and myself every single year. So usually we just had one 2 weeks ago. Usually every January of every year, we get a photographer and a professional who takes professional photographs of us. Now, we often go outside because that's, you know, where we like to be. So we usually choose a beach somewhere near where we live, and we take photos outside. And so exactly as you say, you want to be represented as you are. So if you're wearing, singlets or skirts for girls, or, you know, shorts, that's okay to be portrayed like that in a photo. You don't have to wear the pinstripe suits. Now, I give you a little secret. So when I quit my gig in advertising 5 years ago and we started Basic Bananas, we happened to go to New York that year for a wedding. So we're in New York City and I decided that I needed a Calvin Klein suit. So I went into this shop and I bought this fancy Calvin Klein suit. It's like just, you know, pants and a jacket, well-fitted, way too much money I spent on it. And I just thought, you know, now I'm a business owner. And I hadn't even started the business yet. I hadn't even had a customer yet. But I decided I'm a business owner. I need to wear this fancy suit so that I can attract the right people. Now, how many times do you think I have worn that suit?
Well, last time I saw you, you had some short pink shorts on. So maybe I don't think you're wearing it that often.
I've worn it once to get it taken up because it was too long. The pants were too long. So I wore it once. And then I realized that this is not my brand. What am I doing? I don't need to wear a suit. That's not who I am. So obviously that's what a lot of people do. They go and they think that they have to be a certain way, but you don't have to. You have to be who you are. So that's a little secret story. Christo is still grumpy about me spending all that money on a suit that I have never worn, but that's okay.
Well, why don't you pull it out and make a video about on-brand and off-brand, and then you can justify it as a wardrobe expense for your accountant probably. So I was at the airport after going to a workshop with my friend Taki Moore, your friend as well, and we decided to make a little video, which he never actually sent me. I've got to follow him up on that. And he goes, oh, hang on one sec. And he threw off his shirt and he put on a black T-shirt and he goes, I've just got to get on-brand. And we both chuckled about it. He was just mucking around, but he was conscious, you know, if something's going to be published, you want it to go out there to the market in a consistent way. So, I mean, he knows this very well. He's got amazing designs. He's probably like the world's best slide designer. It's either him or Nancy Duart. It's probably a two-way tie, but anyone who knows Nancy Duart will be chuckling. So, all right, let's bring this home. So we've talked about building a brand and the idea that you should think about how you want to be perceived. You want to think about what you want to be known for. What do you stand for? What do you stand against? You've got some professional help with the graphics. You probably have some good pictures lined up that humanize you. Your offer is compelling to the right audience, but not that appealing to people who it's not for. And you're putting some humanizing in there with the way that you're presenting to the market. What sort of final tips have we got?
Final tips.
What would be like the action steps like to do right now? If you're listening to this, you're sitting there with an Evernote open or a pen or a paper or whiteboard, what would be the essential thing to do, even if it's to review something you've already got? What would be a little checklist?
So the checklist will be to just probably most of your listeners have a business already and a brand. So go over your brand that you have and just look at it and decide whether it's awesome or whether it can be done a little bit better. If it can be done a little bit better, then just invest a couple hundred dollars in working with a graphic designer to help you do that. And then do it across the board. So make sure that every element that you've got out there, whether it's your social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, your website, your brochures, that they're all consistent with your brand. And then also think about, okay, am I walking, talking this brand? Because you, as the business owner, you probably want to be an extension of that brand to make it easier. You don't want to, as you say with Taki, and Taki is hilarious. And I know that he's got his famous black shirt that he puts on every time he goes on camera. But he's not different. It's just that he's, you know.
He literally wears black shirts when I catch up with him for a coffee. I think he's got like six or seven of them. It's doing like a Steve Jobs.
Exactly, that's who he is. And so think about, and so he's an extension of his brand, and he's managed to create a really attractive brand. And so think about how you can do that. Now, the little tip that you asked me, James, so if I can give you something else to do is think about how you're packaging what you're selling. How do you make your offering a little bit more attractive, a little bit more irresistible? And maybe it's just about asking your favorite customers or clients about what would make this offering even more irresistible. And sometimes they say stuff that you already have, but you might not be advertising it. So they might say, for example, if you are a coach, they might say, well, you know, what makes you really irresistible is the accountability that you're giving me. Great. That's really great data that you got from good research that you now need to use to make your offering irresistible. So when you advertise your offering and you package it into a neat little thing, make sure that you use those gold nuggets that you get from your customers. So think about, first thing, think about your brand. Secondly, think about how you can make your offering, the stuff that you sell, a little bit better, a little bit more irresistible.
Love it. And remember, when people buy, ask them why they bought and put that straight back into your messaging. And sometimes you don't know the real reason. You think it's something, but it's something else. Like, for example, one of the questions I have when someone joins Silver Circle is, why did you decide to join Silver Circle? And whatever they tell me then is something that I'm sure to incorporate into my future discussions. Now, for our listeners interested in more on this topic, there's a few resources I can point you to. One is we have a whole branding for entrepreneurs training called Brand Hothouse, which was put together and put into Superfast Business Membership by Kate Richards. Two is you can check out the live performance of Fran at Superfast Business Live, or if you listen to this in the future, then you could log into Superfast Business Membership and check out the recording. I'm sure there'll be some amazing data revealed in that presentation, and this is just a start of what we've got to expect and look forward to.
Thank you so much. Thanks, James. And make sure you don't call me Fran, because she goes a little bit crazy.
Oh, what does she do? Should we test it in the live audience environment? It's just so much easier than Francisca.
You can say it so well. So let's stick Francisca.
All right. Thanks, Francisca. And enjoy your surf today.
Thank you. I will. You too, James. Thank you.
Okay.
Chat soon. Bye.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com. Thank you.